Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Chapter 1, verse 7. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me. This is John the Baptist. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. The most neglected message of the church, and there are many of them. Some people neglect to preach the cross. Some neglect to preach salvation. Some neglect to preach you must be born again. But one of the greatest neglected messages of the church universal, I'm not talking about a little pocket of Church of God in Christ or Assembly of God, but I'm talking about the universal church. The most neglected message is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, he, talking about Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I used that text Wednesday night in Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath beguiled you? To think you have begun in the Spirit and now you can be perfected in the flesh. You know, we talk about the ills of America. And if you're a Republican, you like to blame the Democrats. And if you're a Democrat, you like to blame the Republicans. And if you're a Libertarian, you get to blame both sides. That's even more fun. But the truth is, it's not George Bush and it's not Mr. Obama, President Obama. It's not the presidents that we've had. Because politicians basically are a product of the community. They're a product of what's going on in America. And let me say this without any kind of reservation. The greatest force in America should be the Church of the Living God. The people of the church ought to rise up and take authority over what happens every day in this land. And the reason why America has many of the ills it has is because of the inefficiency of the church. And the reason why the church is not successful in shaping the programs and the formulas and the complexion of our government is the church is no longer spirit-filled. It might be doctrinally led, it might be denominationally decided, but it's not spirit-led. And friend, I want to tell you that by our flesh, we cannot attain the things that God has designed for us. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible plainly teaches there's enmity between the flesh and the Spirit of the living God. And so when we cease from the pulpit, when we cease to preach the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost in the church, and we allow flesh to become the predominant force of the church, we're no better than the world. Because it's as the writer said, Zechariah said, it's not by might. It's not by the might of man's power or political prowess. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts unto Zerubbabel. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And friend, as we become more educated as a nation, as we become more educated as Christian people, if we are not very careful, we lean on the arm of our own understanding and we neglect the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is a little humiliating to our degree and to our education and to our fleshly astuteness when we begin to get in the Spirit of God. Because it is a humiliating thing when you begin to sacrifice everything you are and say, I don't have the power, I don't have the intellect, I don't have the ability, I have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. But that is the message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It happened when the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep, and out of darkness and void came this beautiful thing that we call creation. And it was still happening in the book of Revelation when John on the Isle of Patmos got the revelation of the Bride of Christ. So from Genesis to Revelation, the real thing that drives God's family is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so John the Baptist said, he said, I will baptize you with water, but there is one that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. that apparently is a big deal in the mind of John the Baptist. I would hope and I would assume that most people in this building have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's my number one goal as your bishop and overseer of this church, that everybody that comes to this church consistently receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's first. But secondly, that we would keep it renewed. For it's not just something that you receive one time and then it's done away with, and it's something that you put on your chart and say, oh, that was one on my bucket list. I received the Holy Spirit and spoke in a new language, and that's forever gone. No, my friend, that's not what happens. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit baptism, as John the Baptist said Christ would baptize you with, it literally means that you are infused with the Spirit of Almighty God. You see, we see so many things today that are appalling in the news. It's beyond my imagination that children can kill parents, that parents can kill children, that children can go into a school and slay their schoolmates. That's beyond my comprehension. Well, friend, that's not just flesh out of control. That's people that are being controlled by the devil. There is a real devil. They're being controlled with an evil spirit. In order to counteract that, we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In order for that to happen, we have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And not only that, we need to be renewed from day to day. It needs to be a renewal of the Holy Spirit. And so John the Baptist said that when Christ comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I want to talk just briefly here what each person said about this. What did Peter say about the Holy Ghost? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are denominations that have divorced themselves from God's commandment and God's promise and said the baptism of the Holy Spirit is only for the 12 apostles. And when the canon scripture, in other words, when the gospel from Matthew to Revelation was completed, these things are no longer available. That's simply heresy. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us it was concluded. The truth is, it's exactly the opposite. The Bible teaches us, as Peter said, for this promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When Joel prophesied about it in the Minor Prophets book, and then Peter preached about it on the day of Pentecost, he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Friend, I do not want to compare ourselves with the great churches of America, the great churches like Lakewood and Houston. I have no criticism of that. My business is not to condemn nor criticize. My business is to embrace the things that Jesus gave us and to embrace what the Bible teaches. So we are not in conflict. We are not in competition with other congregations. But we are to emulate what the Bible teaches us the church was in the book of Acts and throughout the Bible. And the Bible is clear about one thing. It is glaringly clear that the church of the living God, from the time it was born in Acts chapter 2 to the end of the scripture, it was a spirit-baptized, spirit-filled church. I would urge you, ladies and gentlemen, when you come to this church, that you do not come as a college classroom. It's more than a scholastic encounter. It is a real bath in the Holy Spirit. I'm addicted to showers. I take 2 or 3 showers every day. I work hard on the ranch, and it just invigorates me to stand in that shower and that water run over my body. But friend, I'm addicted also to the shower, to the baptism, to the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Every day I ask God to stir up the gift that is within me. I ask Him to baptize me afresh and renew. If you study the book of Acts, you will find that time and time again, it said, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many times it's talking about the same people that had that experience in previous chapters. And simply because 5 years ago or 3 weeks ago you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not done with that. the truth is that every day of your life, you need to open your heart, lift your head, lift your hands, and say, God, renew. Stir me up with the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are in a real conflict with a real adversary. And he knows that his time is short, and the book of Revelation chapter 12 said he comes down with all of his power in the last days. And so nominal Christians are not going to get the job done. It has to be those people that Peter was talking about when he said, this gift us to you. It has to be the people that John the Baptist was talking about when he said, they're not just water baptized. He said, you're baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. And so what I would invite you, I would injunction you, that when you come into Living Way, if you haven't done it at home, at least open your heart here and say, God, while they're singing and worshiping, while they're preaching the Word of God, while the congregation is lifting their voices, let the Holy Spirit come upon me and let the Holy Ghost flow in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this a long, long time, over 50 years, and I can tell you that more than anything else, we need a church that is awash with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, with the power of the Holy Ghost. We should scarcely get through a service where the Spirit of God does not make its presence known, where people feel the joy of the Lord, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and they, like Jacob, said, this is the house of God and the gate to heaven. The Lord was here, and I knew it not, but I know it now because God's Spirit is in the house. Would you lift your hands right now and invite the Holy Spirit to be at Living Way Church every time we gather together? How special is the power of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Look what Matthew said in the very first book of the New Testament. It's the only time we receive this warning about this particular subject. The only subject that we are warned about this. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Think of that. Jesus Christ, the one that died for us, the one that gave his body for us, the one that took our place on the cross. If we blaspheme him, if we mock him, I saw a sign in one of the marches recently. I think it was Gay Pride when they were marching. Somebody was carrying a sign. Said, if Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again. It was on television, on the major news. If Jesus comes back, we'll kill him again. I can think of nothing more appalling than that statement. When I saw that, a cold chill went over me. But look what the scripture said. Whoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. As appalling as that is, the Bible said that Jesus will forgive that person carrying that sign. That's the love that Christ has for humanity. No matter how great our sin is, and even what we say against our Savior, Jesus Christ will forgive us. You know he will, because on the cross he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, as they were crucifying him. What love he has. But look at the warning now that Jesus gives us in the writing of Matthew. It shall be forgiven him if he speaks a word against the Son of Man. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I tell you that to show you the emphasis that Christ puts upon the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not something to be trifled with. It's not something to be ignored. It's not something to be dismissed. And it's certainly not something to be mocked. But it is something that every one of us, particularly as called Christians, that we realize that it is important. It is the number one priority of heaven, that we have a visitation from the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates us. You understand, you can't go to heaven like you were born from your mother's womb. Do you understand that? You can't go to heaven that way. Something has to happen to you. You have to be born again according to the Word of God. And according to what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit, it is the regenerative spirit that changes you. It said that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And there is a verse that said, and the Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the grave. That same spirit, if it be in you, it will quicken your mortal body. What are you saying? I'm saying that every one of us should be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you study the scripture, you have to see what Paul said about the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. He came to a group of believers, and when he came to them, he recognized that something was not there. Something was amiss. Folks, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and my spirit bears witness with the spirit that is in you if you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, there's not a bounce back. It doesn't respond exactly the same. You might be a professing Christian, but you simply do not have that same experience that I have. And so when Paul came to these believers, he recognized that something was amiss. His very first question was to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Do you know that if you ask many Christian believers that today, they would be tremendously offended? Oh, no, we don't believe in that. You don't believe in what? You don't believe in what the Scripture says? You don't believe in what John the Baptist says? You don't believe in what Matthew says? You don't believe in what Peter says? You don't believe in what Paul said? We can't pick and choose. It's what thus saith the Word of God. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's a question that I pose to every person that's in this building now. It's a question I pose to everyone that is watching me around the world via the internet. It's a question that I want to be asked regularly in this pulpit to every visitor that comes, because I've got so many friends that are Catholic and Lutheran and Methodist and a whole variety of Christian denominations. But I want to ask every one of us, have we received the Holy Ghost since we believe? Because John the Baptist said, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And Paul recognized there was a deficiency in these disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And their response was exactly what many Christians would respond today that sat in dry, drab denominational churches. You know what makes churches dead? An absence of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is there, the church will not be dead. The Holy Spirit is a living thing. It's a living thing. It produces joy. It produces worship. It produces praise. It produces excitement. When a church is dead, it's void of the Holy Spirit. Their response was, we have not even so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost. We don't even know what you're talking about. Many Christians today around the globe do not know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, because the pulpit that they're listening to every Sunday never, ever mentions that. A friend of mine in Mississippi pastored a large Holy Ghost-filled church. And we're kind of just segregated in Christianity according to our denomination. That's the saddest thing that's ever happened to our church, is segregation. Segregation is a terrible thing all the time, whether it's racial segregation or religious segregation. Because when you only fellowship with people that are exactly like you, you never enlarge. You never enlarge. You never enlarge. Don't segregate yourself. Don't make everybody be the same color you are. Don't make everybody have the same education you have. And so when we segregated the church according to denominations, we quit learning and we quit experiencing. If everybody in the room believes exactly what you do, nobody in the room is going to learn anything. Let me say that again. If everybody in the room believes exactly what you believe, nobody in the room is ever going to learn anything. So that's where we are. In the church today, we gather in Pentecostals, Charismatic, Baptist, Episcopal groups, and we do not enlarge our boundaries, because the truth is most denominations have something to give to other denominations, but we don't do it because the lines of segregation religiously keep us from receiving. And so this pastor pastored what was, for that day and time, a large, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal church, about 600 or 700 people in Mississippi. That was a big deal. And he happened to run into, in a business deal, the pastor of First Baptist Church. And they didn't really have a lot to say to each other. A friend of mine is pastors of Spirit-filled church here in Texas, in Houston, a large Spirit-filled church. And he met one of the largest Baptist pastors in America. And that Baptist pastor, I've met him and talked with him at length and had fellowship with him. And I have his picture of me and him together. And he's a great man. You see him on television all the time. I don't want to call his name because of what he did. But when he learned my friend was charismatic, he wouldn't shake hands with him. He backed off and said, "No, sir, I'm sorry." And it hurt my friend so bad. Those religious spirits just have to go if we're going to be what God wants us to be. But nevertheless, my friend in Mississippi met this man, the pastor at First Baptist Church, in a business deal, and they had a few words, and then they bumped into one another again. And so finally they said, "Let's have lunch one day." And so they had lunch. And another day they had lunch. And finally they found out they both played golf. So let's play golf one day. So they played golf for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they were careful not to broach the subject of their differences. And finally, one of them said to the other one, said, "Why don't you come and preach in our church today? You know, I know Pentecostals are just appalled when you have a Baptist preacher preach. It just eats them up. Can't stand it." And so he said, "Why don't you come and preach in our church?" And then the other one said, "Why don't you come and preach in our church?" So they changed pulpits a time or two. And so in the Baptist church, people got nervous because a Pentecostal church pastor had been invited to preach. And he didn't in any way transgress what the Baptist believed. He behaved himself and just preached things that were not going to be controversial. And so the Baptist pastor started getting conflict in his church over his fellowship. They asked him not to even play golf with them. That's how mean religion can be. Not only can you not go to the same church, you can't even play golf together, and we all call ourselves Christians. And so the Baptist pastor, he wanted to get things straightened out. And he said on a Sunday morning, that great church, about 2,000 people there, he said, "I want to tell you that my friend and I play golf together." He said, "I'm not thinking about becoming a Pentecostal." He said, "I'm going to bring him occasionally and let him minister here, and I'm going to minister there, but that doesn't mean we're going to change anything. We're just friends in the body of Christ." But he said, "I will tell you, I'm open to whatever God would do in my life." He said, "I know we don't speak with tongues in this First Baptist Church, and we don't believe in what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but," he said, "if God would reveal that to me," he said, "I'm open to it." And all of a sudden, his body began to tremble. And he said, Excuse me just a moment. And he tried to regather himself. And the Spirit of God had now descended on him like a dove. And he stood there, and he knew that his salary was on the line. He knew that his job was on the line. Friend, you ought to be so loyal to God that you don't care about your job. You don't care about your relationships. It ought to be Jesus Christ first. And he said, "Just a moment." And he went on talking, and again he began to tremble, and he said, "Wait just a moment." And finally he said, "Folks, you will forgive me, but," he said, "I feel something I've never felt in my life. Would it be all right in this Baptist church if I lift my hands? I know we don't do this, but I just feel like I want to honor the presence of Jesus." And he lifted his hands. And when he lifted his hands, the Spirit of God came on him. And he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, standing in the pulpit of that Baptist church. And it was not a momentary thing. For about 10 or 15 minutes, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he finally came to his senses and he realized what he had done, he opened his eyes to think for sure that the ushers were coming to lead him out. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people that had lifted their hands, and they too were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is not something to be fought about. It's not something that we condemn others about, but it is something that we share. That's the reason why a billion people on planet Earth, the same number there is of Muslims, a billion people are now baptized in the Holy Ghost around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we really don't have an excuse why we're not changing the world. We just need to stand up and speak up. We need to become very vocal and very vigilant and even violent with our faith and say, we are the people that Jesus died for, and we are the people that John the Baptist prophesied about when he said, God will fill you, Jesus Christ will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one cure for this world, for America, for all the problems we face, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you really have a responsibility not to hold that Spirit, but to release that Spirit. Jesus didn't say, into your belly shall come rivers. He said, out of your bellies come river. If you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a responsibility to release that Holy Spirit. Somebody said you ought to be able to track a Christian every day by where they've been, by the droppings of the Holy Spirit. If you are in a Walmart, somebody there ought to be affected because you have the same Spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit. It rolls the rock away. It brings him out of the tomb. Certainly it can bring you out of your personality complex. Certainly it can bring you out of your reservation. Certainly it can bring you out of your religion. The same Spirit. Have you got that same Spirit? How many people in this building have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire? Well, friend, it's not just so you will feel good. It's not just so you will feel good. God made the Holy Spirit baptism feel good so you would do it, because if it didn't feel good, you wouldn't receive it. But that's not the real result, just so you will feel good. It is simply the creative power of Almighty God. Because God in one body was not enough. He said, I'm going to put him in somebody. I'm going to put him in several bodies. I'm going to put him in anybody. In fact, I'm going to put it on everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be a Holy Spirit-filled church. We do not need to adapt the precepts of other churches around the city of San Antonio. Let the word go forth. And Living Way is just not a little different, but a whole lot different. You're not just going to go there. A friend of mine went to one of the major churches here in town, and he works over the city hall. And he said, it's the nearest nothing in the world, the church I go to. And he said, that's what my family likes. He said, nothing ever happens in that church. We're in and out in 45 minutes, and that's what we like. If you want nothing, have at it. But there are some people that are hungry and thirsty. Let the voice go forth. Let the message go forth that Living Way is a Holy Ghost-filled church. Don't go there if you want to stay sick. Don't go there if you want to stay addicted. Don't go there if you want to be suicidal, because that place is alive with the Holy Ghost. And the same thing that Peter preached about on the day of Pentecost, and what John the Baptist prophesied about, and what Paul asked those believers about, have you received the Holy Ghost? That same Holy Ghost is here. And so I invite you to not only come here and bring your Holy Spirit, but I ask you to come here, unzip it, and let it go. Praise God. And say, I walk in the Holy Spirit. I talk in the Holy Spirit. I do my best on my job, but praise God, I've got a church home. It's a Holy Ghost church, and when I go there, I have total freedom to worship, to sing, to shout, to jump, to respond, to clap, to let the Holy Spirit flow through me. Because friend, I'm going to tell you, every time we come together, there's somebody here that's sick. There's somebody here that's lost. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, the sick people will get lost, get saved, will get healed, and the lost people will get saved, and the bound people will get liberated. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. They said, we have not even heard so much as there be any Holy Ghost. How many people in San Antonio have never heard about the precious experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I received Christ when I was a 10-year-old boy, but when I was 13, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. It made a dramatic change in my life. I was powered from the inside out. I was transformed. I was changed. I went to a school with 1,800 kids, and I was the only one that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But praise God, I could persevere, and I could be victorious. Why? Because I was empowered. There is a nation, there is a city, there is a world that is waiting for a real message. And that message is not religion, it's not deadness, it's not dogma, it's not doctrine. It is the power of the resurrection. It is the message of the Holy Ghost and fire, that God will save you, that God will heal you, that God will deliver you, that God will set you free. Can you stand on your feet and give God a big praise in this house today in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the power of God in the 21st century. The 21st century. If you will entertain, and I've got so much material here. I give this to my assistant Judy and to other people, get my notes. And I told one of them, I told Judy, I think, I said, don't be alarmed when you see my notes. Because I'm not going to try to preach this in all one, because we'd be here till dark. I've been studying on the power of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts and in the Gospels and in the Epistles. It's an amazing study. You ought to try it sometime. But I'm going to be talking about the Holy Ghost a lot in the next few weeks, because I know that we are head and shoulders above the church you used to go to. But we are not competing with what you used to be. We're competing with what God wants you to become. Praise God. And God wants us to be alive with the Holy Ghost. He wants angels to encircle this place. He wants the Holy Spirit to walk up and down every aisle. He wants Jesus Christ himself to walk in between every pew. He wants this place to be so alive with God's Spirit that nobody can walk in unsaved and leave the same way. That nobody can walk in sick and leave with their sickness. He wants this place to be a shining city on the hill. He wants it to be a lighthouse on the freeway. He wants it to go forth throughout South Texas. There's a church in San Antonio that's alive with the Holy Ghost. The blind are seen. The AIDS victims are being healed. We are bringing and dissolving all kinds of prejudice and hatreds. We don't care what gender you are. We don't care what color you are. We don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian. We don't care, because we've got one message, and that is Jesus is Lord. But nobody, the Bible said, can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Ghost in this house right now. There are people in this building that are going to go out on Monday, Tuesday. You're going to face the battle of your life. Friend, you can't do it by your own intellect. That degree on your wall will not solve your issue. That diploma in your drawer will not fix it. That counsel you've got from the psychiatrist will not fix it. What you need is the Spirit of the living God that began this whole thing in creation. And God said you can have it. So I'm asking you as a believer to worship like you've never worshiped. To pray like you've never prayed, for one purpose. And that is that you would become not just a depositary of the Holy Spirit, but you would become a conduit of the Holy Spirit. It would hit you at the top of your head and flow out of you. Everybody you shake hands with gets saved. Everybody you touch gets healed. Everybody you communicate with has an amazing confrontation with Almighty God. Let the word go forth. The Holy Ghost is falling like it's never fallen before at Living Way Church. They're seeing signs. They're seeing wonders. They're seeing miracles. They're seeing the power of God. Do you ever watch any news? Do you watch every news? Are you just appalled and overwhelmed by the bad news? Do you ever say, hey, I've got the good news that can counteract that? That same spirit that is in you. Become a fanatic. Become a fanatic. Become overwhelmed, baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, let there be an aura of the Holy Spirit around you. Become a worshiper, not on a platform or in a pew. Become a praiser on your job, in your home, in a taxi cab, on an airplane, in a hospital. Become a praiser. Let's change our world. And the only thing that can change our world is the free flow of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands and give God some praise in this building right now. Hallelujah. The devil tries to make us feel like we are distinctively different. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the pain I've experienced. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. We're all human beings. And we all have major troubles in our life. And I am absolutely no exception to that rule. But I can stand here and look back and see trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And every trouble that I look back and see, I can tell you I've triumphed over it. Whether it was physical illness, whether it was spiritual attack, whether it was religious attack, whether it was monetary bankruptcy, I can see them all back there. And friend, I can tell you that I am an overcomer. I've overcome every one of them. I've been victorious over every one of them. And said, that's because you're smart. No, there's people in this building a lot smarter than I am. It's because I walk in the Spirit of the living God and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is my banker and my lawyer, my way maker. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Every day I pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody in this building right now has got a crisis. You say, man, my marriage is, I don't know what to do about my marriage. Well, they would tell you to go to a marriage counselor. But there's a good chance that marriage counselor is divorced, so that might not be the answer. But the Bible said he will be your counselor. If you've got a marriage crisis, this altar is for the answer is found, and it's found in the person of the Holy Ghost. He will empower you to do what you need to do to bring victory out of that terrible, terrible relationship. You say, Pastor, I'm just broken, don't have a job. You need to turn that over to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost go before you. He'll open a door that no man can shut. You say, I got a bad doctor's report. You need to turn it over to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You say, what will the Holy Ghost do? Well, all I know is that Jesus was dead and long gone until the Holy Ghost got him up and rolled the tomb away and brought him out that gate, praise God. And so you might be sick today, but the Holy Ghost is here. And Jesus said, I will save you and heal you with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're in this room today and you're facing any problem in your life, I challenge you to walk down this aisle and give your problem to Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people have ever studied the life of Dr. Oral Roberts. He was highly criticized. If you go to Tulsa today and see that beautiful university, he built that thing. And I heard him personally say, he said, I'd face problem after problem. I'd get down on my knees and I'd begin to speak in tongues. And he said, when I begin to let the Holy Spirit flow through me, he said, God would come and solve those problems year after year and day after day. If you go to that beautiful university today, it's all paid for. It's all paid for. Debt free now. Oh, he fought all that problem, all, but the Holy Ghost would always come in and make a way where there was no way. Somebody in this building has got a problem and there is absolutely no physical answer to your problem. You need to get out of this, out of your pew and get to this altar and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to pray.